Today's blot is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Ches, and we're going to begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin on the base at the Mishnah. The Torah tells us that the Korban Pesach should be Zohar, has to be a male, Ben Shana, the animal has to be less than a year old, Tumim, it's not allowed to have a mum, it's not allowed to have a blemish. Teaches us the Mishnah, Hamafrish Nekevel Apischai. If somebody, instead of designating a male animal, designated a female animal, Oizachar, he did designate a male, the animal was Ben Shtei Shanim, was over a year old. So this animal, these animals were obviously disqualified to serve as a Korban Pesach. Teaches us the Mishnah, Yirach Yistov, the animal has to be left to graze. V'yimacher, it gets a balmum, it becomes a balmum. V'yiplu damav l'nedava l'shlamim. So the Mishnah is teaching us, as we will learn in the Gemara, that an animal rejected outright is not qualified to become Pesach. We have to let it become balmum and sell it. The Migdash David asks, we learned in this parak that an animal that was a Korban Pesach, but for whatever reason became disqualified, under many situations, has the din that's brought as a shlamim. Why here is the halacha that it can't be used at all? We just have to let it become balmum and use it for a different type of a carbon. The Chazon Ish, along the same lines, asks, as we learned, and will Mitzvashem learn today, that according to Reb Zeira, the defining moment when something is or is not considered a Korban Pesach is by Chatzos. Here by Chatzos, this animal wasn't qualified as a Korban Pesach. Why is it considered disqualified? It should have just been nothing. So the answer to both questions is really the same. Normally, if an animal is disqualified and rejected, the halacha is, as our Mishnah teaches us, it has to be left to become balmum and then sold. However, there's a special din called Moisra Pesach, which we've been introduced many times in this Masechta. Moisra Pesach applies in certain given situations. So when it's a Moisra Pesach, as the Torah tells us what a Moisra Pesach is, it's a Moisra Pesach. Any other situation has the regular din of an animal that's disqualified, that's left to become Balmum. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, V'yimachit should let become Balmum. It has become Balmum and sold. So Tosfos asks, why do I have to wait that it should become Balmum? If it was never qualified, let me just sell it and take the money and do with it what I have to do with it. So Tosfos says that although, as we will learn in the Gemara, it really never had the full-fledged Kedusha of a Kedusha Saguf, of being a carbon, because it was disqualified from the outset, still, once it has some sort of Kedusha, it gets the Halacha like it has a Kedusha Saguf, and therefore any animal that has a Kedusha Saguf cannot be redeemed until it becomes a Balmum. So the Mishnah said, what do I do with it? I redeem it, and I sell the Dovah L'Shlamim. Now truthfully, this is sort of a contradiction. L'Shlamim means that I sell, take the animal, let it become a Balmum, and use it for Shlamim. L'Dova, as we've learned, means that they had Shoifris, they had Pushkis, and they based HaMikdash, that they used that money for Oilitz Ketz HaMizbeach. So what is it? Is it Nedova or is it Shlomim? So it's really a Machloikus Rashi and Taisvis versus the Rambam. Rashi and Taisvis learn that it's L'Shlomim. The Rambam learns that it's used L'Nedova. And apparently in the Mishnah there was some sort of corruption of the Girsa, and they made a combination of the two Pshatim, L'Nedova L'Shlomim. But these two Pshatim can't work together. It's Lendov according to the Rambam, it's L'Shlom according to Rashi and Taisvus. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi and Taisvus. Taisvus also points out that it doesn't necessarily have to be used as a Shlomim. It can be used as a Korban Pesach. That let's say I went and I designated this animal, which I shouldn't have, because it's a female, or it's too old for Korban Pesach. I wait for it to become Balmum, and let's say it's still before Pesach, I could take the money, not necessarily have to use it for a shlomim, I could use it for Korban Pesach. or if I can't use it for a Korban Pesach because it's already after Pesach when it became Baal Mum, so the Dvar Shmuel explains, I could use it for Pesach Sheni if I didn't bring Pesach Rishon, or if I already did bring a Korban Pesach, I could use it for somebody else to take that money and buy Korban Pesach with it.
Can I save for next year?
For next year, it seems that there would be a problem that you're not allowed to hold on to money that you owe for Korban for so long. That's why you can't wait till next year. Says the Mishnah further, Hamafresh Pischoy Meis. Somebody designated an animal as a Korban Pesach and then he passed away. And as the Mefarshim explained, this person had not had anybody else with him as a group in the bringing of the Korban Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Lo Yevienu Benoy Achrav. His son can't bring it in his place, L'Shem Pesach, El L'Shem Shlomim. He could only bring it as a Shem Shlomim. So the Tosfos Rid explains, if a son inherits his father on everything else, why can't we say that the son inherits his father's place on the Korban Pesach? So Tosfos Rid explains that Korban Pesach, there's a halacha, you have to buy, you have to participate in purchasing or being part of a Korban Pesach, registering. It's not something that could, so to speak, fall into your lap. So just because his father passed away and he inherited, that doesn't give him a place in the Korban Pesach. So since he wasn't registered on it, then the Korban Pesach, after the father dies, becomes disqualified, because as we learned and will learn, a Korban Pesach left ownerless becomes disqualified as a Korban Pesach. So when this person passed away, the Korban Pesach is left ownerless, and it can only be bought as a Shlomim, not as a Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, Shmami Notlas. From learning our Mishnah, we can learn three halachas. One halacha is, even a live animal can be disqualified. We're talking about a live animal in our Mishnah that was disqualified as to be used as a Korban Pesach, and it can be considered dochi. Dochi means rejected. Something rejected can no longer be used as a Korban because it was rejected, even though it was rejected while it's alive. And the Migdash Tavit explains, why is something dochui considered posel for the Mizbeach? He says, since the Torah uses the word mishmeres in terms of kachim, something that has to be watched, something that has to be guarded, dochui, something rejected, is just the opposite of something that's guarded, and therefore becomes disqualified to be used as a carbon. The Briskarov asks, this disqualification of dochui, is it a disqualification that's inherent in the carbon? An animal that's dochli is a psul haguf, or is it an outside problem that something that's rejected should not be brought? L'may nafkamina. We learned early in the Masechta that if there's a disqualification which is inherent to the animal, so as soon as it becomes possible, you burn it. If it's an outside disqualification, you have to have ibatsura. So now he wants to know what kind of disqualification is dochli. Says Rashi, this halacha that an animal could become rejected, we don't need to learn from our Mishnah. We actually could have learned it from the previous Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis. Because what did the Mishnah teach us? That if somebody designated a carbon, lost it, took another one, and now before Chatzos, he has both of them. One he could bring as a Korban Pesach, and the other one becomes rejected. So we already saw the concept of Dochli from the previous Mishnah. So Rashi says that, you're right, we could have learned it from the previous Mishnah, but since we're going to learn other halachas of Dochli, so the Gemara chose to combine them all together with one place of the Gemara. That's how Rashi explains. Other Rishonim explain as follows. As we will still learn, this concept of Dochli, especially on a live animal, is a machlokes tanoim. We'll see it soon in this Amud. Say these Rishonim, even according to the Man D'Omer that says that we don't subscribe to dechia, to rejection by a live animal, that's only when I did not do something to make it rejected. But if I actively did something, like in our Mishnah, where I took an animal that's disqualified and made it into Korban Pesach, everybody will subscribe to dechia. So in the previous Mishnah, it became dochi by itself. I lost one animal, found the other animal. There it's a machlaikas that we hold dochi. This case where I actively did something, everybody subscribes to dechia. That's why we use this Mishnah as the example for dechia. Mishmamina, we have another proof. Dochi mikar avadochi. Something that was never qualified, as in our Mishnah, it was never qualified, is still considered dochi. b'shmamina yishtuch b'domin. So the way Rashi explains this is as follows. This animal, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, was disqualified from the outset. Since it was disqualified from the outset, it never had a Kedushas Haguf. It only had a lower level of Kedusha. Kedushas Tamim, a mandatory Kedusha. I would think that something that only has a Kedushas Tamim doesn't have the Halacha of Dachli, teaches us the Gemara that it does apply. Now Taisus asks, aren't the second and third rule that the Gemara telling us really one and the same? Since it was Dachli from the beginning, it only has a Kedushas Tamim. And that's why we still say Dachli. So what's the difference between the second rule and the third rule? So Taisus gives an example how we can have something that's Dachli from the beginning even when it has a Kedushas Haguf. What's the case? He says, let's say somebody had the Klisharis, the keli in which they caught the dam, the blood, when they shechted a carbon, and to that dam as a Kedushas Haguf. Now let's say that pan had a lot of water in it in which you're catching the dam. So the dam, as it falls into the water, becomes bottle. So it's dochi. Now you end up more and more blood coming into the pan, and you have more blood than water. That blood is still disqualified. So you have blood that had a kedushas haguf, and it's still disqualified because it was disqualified at the outset. So that's why we have an example where it's not this, where it's the third rule is not applicable because it's not a kedushas tamim. It's a kedushas haguf, but it is dochi miyukara. So the Mishnah taught us, Hamafresh Pischoy, if somebody designated a Karan Pesach and then passed away, his son can't bring it in his place for Karan Pesach, only for Shlomen. Teaches us the Braisa to expand on what the Mishnah said. Tana Rabbanan, Hamafresh Pischoy Mes, somebody designated a Karan Pesach and then passed away, in B'noi Mamuna Imoy, if his son was part of the group, Yivien L'Shem Pesach, his son should bring it in his, should continue. Ein B'noi Mamuna Imoy, but if his son wasn't part of the group, Yivianu l'shlamim l'shisha asur, then he could bring it for Kabban Shlamim, but on the first day of Chol Hamoed, 16 days of Nisan. That's the Brisa. So the first thing the Brisa points out is, L'yudvav in, it could be used as a Kabban Shlamim on the first day of Chol Hamoed, L'tezvav loy, but not on the first day of Yontif, Tezvav Nisan. Why? Says the Gemara, Kesavar, because the Tan of this Brisa holds, Nedar of Nedavas ain't craving B'yontif. The carbon that you're not obligated to bring, you're not allowed to bring on Yontif. And the way we explain this is that Yontif, you're not really supposed to be doing Malacha. So what the Torah told us, a carbon that the Torah told us to bring on Yontif, the Torah told us to bring it. This Neder and the Dove, I don't have to bring today in Yontif. I could bring it on Chol Hamoed. Since I could bring it on Chol Hamoed, I have no right to bring it on Yontif. Now the Gemara tries to analyze the Braisa. The Misa Av Amos. Exactly when did the father pass away? Ilema the miskodim chatzois. If the father passed away before chatzois, and let's review as we've been saying in the name of Reb Zera, that chatzois is the defining moment for when a carbon is brought, carbon Pesach. So ask the Gemara, b'noi memuni imai. Even if the son is part of the group, yivenu l'shem Pesach, can this carbon be brought for carbon Pesach? Hachola ninus alav miyikara. So the way Rashi in his second pshat and Tosfos explained the Gemara is as follows. Let's say the father died at 11 a.m. So at the moment the father dies, the son is an Einan. An Einan, as we've learned, the day of his father's death, is Pater Mikol HaMitzvos. So when 12 o'clock comes, which is Chatzos, which is the defining moment for Karban Pesach, it's a rejected Karban Pesach, because the son can't bring it, and he's the only member left on the Karban. So it becomes rejected. If it becomes rejected, we've learned that a Karban Pesach that becomes rejected is Yirat Yistof. It can't be brought as a Karban Pesach, nor as a Karban Shlomim. So how could the Mishnah, how could the Braisa say that it should be brought for Shlomim? Ella, what are we going to say? The Mis Ach Chatzos, that the father died after Chatzos. Ein B'noi Memone Imoi. So why, if the son is not a member, Yivyanu L'Shem Shlomim, could be brought L'Shem Shlomim, Hakavata Chatzos. Since Chatzos came, let's understand, Chatzos came, Chatzos, it became a Karban Pesach. Then the father dies, becomes rejected. If you can't reject it, it can't be used as a Korban Pesach. It can't be used as a Korban Shlomim. Why does the Mishnah say, Braisa say it can? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba, Loyal in the Mitzvah Koyim Chatzos. The son died, the father died before Chatzos. Umay Yivyen Elishem Pesach. What does it mean? So they died before Chatzos. Since he died before Chatzos, it never gets the shame of a Korban Pesach. So now the son could bring it as a Shem Pesach Sheni, not for Pesach Rishon. Pesach Rishon, he's not Mechuyev, because he was an Oinen. But he'll bring it for Pesach Sheni. That's how Rashi in the second Pshat and Tosfos learned the Gemara. There's another Pshat, the first Pshat in Rashi, says like this, that we're not allowed to bring a Korban for Oinen alone. But ask the Gemara, if the Korban Pesach, if the father died before Chatzos, and the son is the only member left, you can't bring it as a Korban Pesach for him, because he's an Oinen alone. If the son died, if the father died after Chatzos, so then why can't you bring it? He became a chiyuv before an oinen, before he became an oinen. So therefore, Rava says that he died before Chatzos, and he can't be used as a Korban Pesach because he's an oinen by himself. So she brought it as a Korban Pesach sheni. Abai says, let's start in Ketani. The way to understand the Brice is as follows: Meis ach Chatzos. If the father died after Chatzos, so it became a Korban Pesach because Chatzos. So if the son is registered on it, it should be brought as a Korban Pesach. If the son is not registered, so according to Abaye, the Braisa isn't talking about that case, but what would be the halacha? Since it became a Korban Pesach by Chatzos, now left without any owners, because the only owner was the father, who unfortunately passed away, so it becomes dochui. It's a Korban Pesach that became dochui, and a Korban Pesach that became dochui, the halacha is yirat yistaf. Meis koidim chatzos, if the father died before chatzos, ve'ein benoi nimnima, so the son wasn't registered on it, yivyen l'shem shlomim, then it should be brought as shlomim. Why? Because since the father died before chatzos, so it can't. Since the father died before Chatzos, it never got the designation of being a Korban Pesach. And if the son is registered on it, then the halacha will be, he won't bring a Pesach Rishon. Why? Because he was an Oinin before Chatzos. But what will we do with this animal? We'll save it for Pesach Sheni. Rav Shravi says a different teretz. Lo'olam the father died after Chatzos. But if the father died after Chatzos, if the son is not registered on it, so why don't we say that Chatzos got the name of a Korban Pesach, then by him dying, it becomes Dochui, and should not be able to be used as a Korban Shlomim? Says Rav Shrabi, it's talking about a case, the father was holding very in the throes of death, that's the definition of Geisus. So since he was holding in that situation, Chatzos, which normally gives it the shame, the category of Korban Pesach, won't give it the category of Korban Pesach for a person in such a situation, and therefore didn't get the name Korban Pesach, and therefore when the father dies, it's not Nidcha, because it was never Korban Pesach in the first place. Rav Ashi says a different teretz. Loyal in the Mitzvah Achar Chatzos. The father died after Chatzos. If the father died after Chatzos, so we have a problem that by Chatzos it got the category of the Korban Pesach, then by his dying with nobody registered on it, because we're talking in a case where the son wasn't registered, why doesn't it come Dochi? Because we're going contra Shimon. Dama ein bal chayim nidochim. Live animals can become Dochi. Different than what we learned on top of the Amid. At the beginning of the Shir in the Mishnah on the top of the Amid, we learned that even live animals, the Nekeva, the old Zohar, can become Dochi. Rav Shimon says only non-living animals can become dochi, not a live animal. Explains the Zera Avraham why. He says, there's two types of Kedusha. There's Kedushas Aguf, or Kedushas Tamim, and there's Kedushas Karban. Where is there, according to Rav Shimon, a concept of dochi? Something that became a Karban, and then it can become rejected. But something that was never a Karban, because it never got to that state, according to Rav Shimon, the dinim of dochi don't apply. Ravin Amar, a different teretz. Kigoin shafrisha ach chatzos, or meisu balam ach chatzos, for katzava chatzos kava. Ravina says like this: We've been explaining that what is the defining moment? The defining moment is Chatzos. But let's say he hadn't been Magdish, he hadn't designated the animal by Chatzos. So this animal doesn't become a Korban Pesach by Chatzos and then become rejected. It never became a Korban Pesach. So if the father only designated the animal after Chatzos and then he passed away, it was never Korban Pesach, that becomes Dochui, because it wasn't around, it wasn't designated by Chatzos. Rashi asks, this is the way Chacham Smanoich explains Rashi, why don't we say that the case here is that the father died a day or two before Pesach, and therefore by the time Erev Pesach comes, the son is no longer an Einan. And therefore, there's no discussion, because the only time he's an Einan is the day of the death. The father died a day or two before, and that's how we could have explained the Braisa. So Rashi says, this is the way Chacham Smanoich explains Rashi, that the Gemara didn't say that approach because nobody ever was Magdish a Korban Pesach that early. They were always Magdish a Korban Pesach only in Erev Pesach. Why? Because once you Magdish an animal, you could have a problem with Me'ilah if it's a behemoth that's Hegdish. So they didn't want to have any of these problems, so they always waited to be Magdish an animal until Erev Pesach. So Gemara didn't want to give a teretz that they were Magdish it earlier. Says the Mishnah, HaPesach Shnus Arab Bezvachim. A Korban Pesach got mingled together with other animals. So the way Rashi explains is we have three animals. One animal was a Korban Pesach, another animal was a Korban Asham, another animal was a Korban Oila. These three animals got mixed together. An animal is an animal, they all look the same. And we don't know who's who. So, since they have different halachas, what do I do? Since I don't know which animal is which. Teach us the Mishnah. Kulan yiru ach yistavu. I have to wait for them to become balmum. V'yimachru, and then I sell it. V'yav v'dmei ha'yofesh b'hem b'min zeh. Or v'dmei ha'yofesh b'hem b'min zeh. V'yafsar ha'mois me'beisoy. So what it means is as follows. We have these three animals. One animal, let's say, was worth $100. The other two animals were each worth $50. Now we can't have Hegdish take a loss. So we don't know which animal is which. So this person, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, has to bring $300 bills. Wait for the animal to become Balmum, each one of these animals to become Balmum, sells it, and what he does is, as an animal becomes Balmum, he takes the $100 bill, and he says, if this animal is the Chata, the Ashram, it should be redeemed on this $100 bill. If it's the Oil, it should be redeemed on this $100 bill. If it's the Pesach, it should be redeemed on the $100 bill. And so he goes with all three animals as they become Balimum, and now he has three $100 bills, and the three animals are redeemed, and now he has to buy three new animals. So why does he take a loss? He takes a loss of $100, 2 times 50. Now the first Yisrael explains, he only takes two losses. One, he doesn't take three losses, because the one animal was worth is $100. That animal stays the same. That's why the Tveres Yisrael says, the Mishnah says, V'yove admei yofish ben, v'admei yofish ben v'minzeh, he says it twice. Why does it say it twice? Because only on two animals does he take a loss, not on the third animal. That's how Rashi and the Tveres Yisrael explain the Mishnah. Just to say the words in the Mishnah again, HaPesach Shnasar B'Zvachim, Korban Pesach got mixed up with a Korban Asham and a Korban Oila. Yirush Yistav, I wait for all three animals to become Balmum. V'Yimachru, sell them. V'Yovid Me'a Yofish Ben, then take the highest value. V'Minzeh, V'Me'a Yofish V'Minzeh. V'Yafsar Amos V'Beis, and he takes the loss, the differential between the most expensive animals and the cheaper animals. Rambam has a different approach to the Mishnah. The Rambam's explanation of the Mishnah is that this Korban Pesach got mixed up with two Korban Oilas. So you have two Korban Oilas and one Korban Pesach. Says the Mishnah that I would think that Rav, the law of majority, tells me that any animal I take, it should be a Korban Oilas, because it's always a 2-to-1 chance that it's a Korban Oilas. Teaches us the Mishnah, we don't do that. That's the way Rambam explains the Mishnah. We're not going to learn the Mishnah that way. This Arav B'chayrus, what happens if the Korban Pesach got mixed up with a Bechor? Now, a Bechor, the halacha is that a firstborn animal has to be given to the Kohen, but the halacha is that the way a Bechor is processed, so to speak, is the exact same way as a Korban Pesach. So here we don't have a problem that if it's an oiler has one din, if it's a Karban Pesach it has another din, oiler you burn completely, an Oshim is only eaten by Kahanim, a Karban Pesach we all have to eat, because whatever it is, I could eat it and I process it the same way. But there's only one difference. A Karban Pesach is eaten by everybody. A Bechor is only eaten by Kahanim. So what does Rav Shimon say to do? Im Chaburus Kahanim, take a group that's purely Kahanim, and Yoichlu, they should eat both animals. Because no matter how you, so to speak, slice it, they're allowed to eat it. If it's a Bechor, they're allowed to eat it. If it's a Karban Pesach, you're also allowed to eat it. But ask the Rishonim, we have a problem. One of these animals is a Bechor, one of the animals is a Karban Pesach. I'm treating them both like a Karban Pesach. A Karban Pesach, we learned, when do they bring it? After the Karban Tamid. You're not allowed to bring any other carbon after the Karban Tamid. So if it's a Bechor, I'm bringing a Bechor after the Karban Tamid. So the two answers that I saw to this question. One answer, I've said this answer I think previously, is that they shecht it, they shecht the Karban Tamid, but they don't burn the Imurim. Then they'll shecht this animal, and then they'll burn the Imurim. When is there a halacha, you're not allowed to bring anything after the Karban Tamid, after you burn the Imurim. I didn't burn the Imurim yet. Another teretz that the Sfasem says is that although a Karban Pesach could be brought after the Karban Tamid, it could also be brought before the Karban Tamid. So I'll bring these two animals before the Karban Tamid on the outside because I know one of them is not a Karban Pesach. Ask the Gemara, the Kamaisi Kachin Lebeis Apsol. By doing this, I'm lessening the time that I could eat one of the animals. Because let's review. We have one animal, it's a Bechor. One animal to Karban Pesach. A Karban Pesach, as we've been learning so many times, may only be eaten Pesach by night. A Bechor can be eaten Shnei Yomim V'Leilecha, 2 days. Shnei Yomim V'Leilecha, 2 days and one night. Now I'm treating both of these animals like a Karban Pesach. So I'm lessening the amount of time that I'm allowed to eat this Bechor. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Tamei, the time of our Mishnah is Rav Shimon, the Amma Mavin Kachin Lebeis Apsol. I'm allowed to lessen the amount of time that I eat a carbon, the Tanan. As we learned the Mishnah Masechta Svachim, Oshim Shnes Arva B'Shlamim. You have two animals, one's an Oshim, one's a Shlamim. A Shlamim can be eaten for 2 days, and two days and one night. A Shlamim could be eaten by everybody, and it could be eaten all of Yerushalayim. An Oshim could only be eaten by Kayanim. It could only be eaten by Azara. And it could only be eaten by one day, one night. So now what do? Rav Shimon Omer, Yishchutu B'Tzofen. One more halacha. Karban Oshim, which says Kachi Kachim, has to be slaughtered in the north side of the Azara. Karban Shlom can be shechted anywhere in the Azara. So he says, you'll shecht this in the north side. Karban Shlom may be shechted in the north side. You don't have to. But he says, V'yoichlu, I'll treat both animals like a carbon ashram, even though the animal that's a carbon shlamim, I'm going to end up eating for less time. Amalai, Rabbanan disagreed with Rav Shimon, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take an animal and lessen the amount of time that you're allowed to eat it. So they would not agree with our Mishnah either, because treating both of these animals like a carbon Pesach is lessening the amount of time that you could use, that you could eat the Bechor. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara Masech Tzvachim says that this is not only halacha according to Rabbanon by Kachim, it's also halacha by Truma. The Gemara says you can't take Domei Shvius money, and redeem Truma with Shvius money. Why? Because, or buy it with Shvius money. Because Shvius money, we know, has to be used up by this manabir. And Truma, you're going to lessen the amount of time that you could eat the truma. Ask Taisvis, if so, how could I ever take truma and bake it and make it into chametz? By doing that, I'm lessening the amount of time I could eat it. If I got truma that's grain, so I could have it forever. By baking it into chametz, once Pesach comes, I have to destroy it. We're learning that according to Rabbanon, Emavim Kachim Beis Apsol. You're not allowed to cause that you should lessen the amount of time that you eat Truma. So Tosfos answers that although there's a halacha of Eim Avim Kachal Beis Psul, you're not allowed less than the time that it may be eaten. There's another halacha, Lamashcha, that you have to eat Kachim and Truma in a distinguished, dignified manner. Eating plain grain is not dignified. Turning it into bread is dignified. And that halacha supersedes the halacha of Eim Avim Kachal Beis Psul. And with that we can answer Akasha the Rishash asks. The Chelkas Yoiv says this. The Rishash asks, when you receive Truma, when a Kohen receives Truma, when it's grain, it's not Roy L'Kabel Tumah. If you go and you make it wet, as we've learned so many times, you expose it to one of the seven liquids, it becomes susceptible to Tumah. So says the Rishash, you should never be allowed to take Truma and expose it to a liquid, because by exposing it to a liquid, it may become Tameh. And may make it Tameh, you'll have to be burnt. Don't expose it to a liquid, and it never can become Tameh. Eim avin kachim, lebeis apsul. Says the Chelkas Yoiv, based on the Taisus that we just learned. Grain, yes, if you don't expose it to liquid, it'll never become Tameh. But it'll never be that geschmack to it either. Exposing it to liquid, baking it, processing it, is lamashcha. It's a more dignified manner, which, as Taisus said, supersedes the halacha of Eim Avin Kachal Beis Apsol. Now ask the Gemara, according to Rabbonim, that say, we can never lessen the amount of time that we're allowed to eat a carbon. We go back to the problem that we identified in the Mishnah. We have one animal, it's a carbon Pesach, one animal, which is a Bechor, they got mixed up, what do I do? Rabbonin Heiche Avdinin, what do I do with this situation? Omer Rava, so Rava explains, Nantun La'chiyumu, the halacha is that a Bechor, as long as it's unblemished, has to be eaten like a carbon. Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad, only by Kahanim. But if it becomes a Balmum, you're allowed to redeem it. So wait till both of these animals become Balimum. V'yavi Behema Shmeina, then bring a nice animal that's worth as much, Rashi explains, as the better of the two. V'leima Kol Heichad Isla Pesach, whichever animal was the Karm Pesach, Tocholo, this animal should now become a Karm Pesach. And now the two animals that I started off with, given that I don't know which one is a Bechor and which one is not, I treat both like a Bechor Balmum. A Bechor Balmum doesn't have that locus that they have to be treated like kachin. They can be eaten like regular meat with certain provisions. What are the certain provisions? That they can't be sold in a butcher shop and it can't be weighed on a regular scale. So the Tzlach points out, obviously I have to treat it like a Bechor. What's the Gemara teaching us? So the Tzlach says, I may say that here I shouldn't treat it in this special way, that I shouldn't be allowed to sell it in a butcher shop. Why? Because whatever I get for it, I'm going to use for a carbon. So I would say maybe the issue of getting the money and using it for Bechor should override the halacha that I'm not allowed to treat a Bechor that way. Tells us the Gemara, Bechor always, even a Balmum has to be treated with respect, even if it's at the expense of Hegdish not getting as much money for the animal as it might have received. Says the Mishnah, Chaburish Avot Pischa, you have a group that they lost their Karban Pesach, they lost their animal, V'amr Lechot, and they go and they tell one of the members of the group, Say Ubakesh V'shchoit Aleinu, go find another animal and check it on our behalf. But he didn't say anything to them. And he went and found an animal. However, they weren't certain that he's going to do his job. So they also went and took another animal. Now, the halacha is you could only be registered, you could only be part of one Karban Pesach, not of two. So says the Mishnah so. If his Karban was shechted first, he eats from that Karban. And they eat along with him, because that's the carbon Pesach that was brought. V'him shalahem nishchet rishon. If, on the other hand, their carbon was brought first, hey meichel mishalahem, they'll eat from theirs, because theirs was first, so that's the carbon that they're part of. V'hu meichel mishaloi, and he eats from his carbon, because he never became part of that group. V'im eni yedu eiz mehem nishchet rishon. We don't know which one was first and which one was second. Oy, sheshachtu shneim kecha, both were shecht at the exact same time. Like the Mefarshim explained, there's a concept in the halacha of iyash shalitzamtzeim. It can't be exact that both things happen mamish at the exact same moment. Who oichem shaloi? He'll eat from his, because he's not part of that carbon, no matter what that they brought. V'hein ein oichlim, but they can't eat from his, because maybe their carbon was first, and that's their carbon Pesach, not his. V'shalhen yetzel beis asrei, for their carbon will be burnt. Why would their carbon be burnt? Because we don't know what status. Is it a carbon Pesach because it was brought first, or is it not a carbon Pesach because it was brought second? However, p'tur melas Pesach sheni, they won't have to bring a Pesach sheni. Why won't they have to bring a Pesach sheni? Because the halacha is that although they can't eat here, but they had a carbon brought for him. We just don't know which one was the one that they were mekayim the mitzvah with. Eating the carbon Pesach is not crucial, as we've said so many times, to be mekayim the mitzvah, and that's why they don't have to bring a Pesach sheni. There's a very interesting Tshuvas HaRashi based on this Mishnah. I'll say it this way. What happens if somebody hired a broker to sell his house, and the broker wasn't doing his job, and I see he's not doing the job, so I go and I hire a second broker, but I never told the first broker that I'm disengaging you. The first broker now gets ready to do his work, and he sells the house, and he comes to the person, I did a deal. Is that effective, or do we say since we hired a second broker, the first deal automatically became nullified? So we see from here that it doesn't become nullified, because what happened here? They went and asked somebody to get carbon Pesach for them. So they hired somebody. Yet it says that if they afterwards went took another carbon, it's effective both ways. So you see that the just because you hire a second person, it doesn't nullify the first deal unless you explicitly nullified it. Now we have another situation. Amalahen, this person tells them, Im Mecharti, if I'm supposed to go find a Karim Pesach, get delayed, Tzuva Shechtulai, you're going to be in Karim Pesach, I want to be part of your group. Holoch Matzah V'Shach, but he did Shecht. V'hein Loch V'Shachtu, and they Shechted. Now, here, he joined with them, but they didn't join with him. So, im shalhem nishchet reshin, if their carbon was shechted first, they certainly could eat from it, because he's part of that group. However, vim shalai nishchet reshin, if his carbon was brought first, hu aichel mishalai, he'll eat from his, because he says that he wants to bring his, he's not part of that group, and they'll eat from their group. Vim any day ezemem nishtrishin. We don't know who was first and who was second. Or shishachtu shneim kechro, both were done at the same time, and we don't know exactly who was first and who was second. Heinachem shalom, they'll anyway eat from theirs. Why do they eat from theirs no matter what? Because they aren't part of his. Vuein oichlim mohen, he can't eat, because maybe his carbon was brought first. On the other hand, maybe his carbon was brought second, so we don't know. So that's why Shaloi, the one that he brings, gets the base of Sreifa, but Patma lasts the base of Sheni. There's a Taisus that we learned earlier in the Masechta. Taisus says that let's say somebody went and asked his Eved to bring a carbon on his behalf, and we learned the Gemara, and the Eved forgot the boss tell him to take a Gdi or a Tele. So the Gemara, as the Mishnah, as the Gemara explains, it says like this: if he got mixed up before the Zrika, then both animals are disqualified. If, on the other hand, he finds out after the Zrika, then they're okay. So ask Tosfos, why don't we find that same dichotomy in our Mishnah before Zrika, after Zrika? So Tosfos there says ein adoyma. That Mishnah and our Mishnah are not the same. But Tosfos doesn't explain why they're not the same. So Mashah says, why they're not the same. In the case where the Eved was told to take a specific type of animal, and then he forgot. So what did the Mishnah say he should do? He should make a condition. If my boss told me to bring a Gdi, he should bring a Gdi and a Teleh, and say like this: if my boss said Gdi, so the Gdi is for him and the Teleh is for me. If vice versa, vice versa. So there, says the Mashah, since he's making this condition, so his whole Hakrov is based on a condition, which may not be effective, and that's why if he only realizes before the Tzrika, we say that everything isn't acceptable. Here in our Mishnah says the Mishnah, no conditions are being made. So since no conditions are being made, it makes a difference before the Tzrika, after the Tzrika, the carbon is effective. Next in the Mishnah. Om lehen v'om loy. They each said to each other, Oichlin Kulam and Arishin. So everybody should eat from the first carbon, because they're all members together. Vim Eni Yudei Eiz Men Nishchit Rishin. And we don't know which one is first. Shneim Yoitzin Lebeis Asreif. Now, it's very interesting. The Tzlach makes an observation. The Tzlach says, here the Mishnah doesn't say, Opot Melachas Pesach Sheni. Says the Tzlach, here they will have to make a Pesach Sheni. Why? Says the Tzlach, a beautiful pshat. He says, in the previous two cases in the Mishnah, at least somebody is going to have a Karban Pesach. In the first case, the Shliach will certainly have a Karban Pesach. The group may not, but the Shliach will. In the second case, the group will certainly have a Pesach Sheni, but he may not. In this case, nobody may end up eating Karban Pesach. Since nobody will end up eating Karban Pesach, we can't say Peturim Blatz Pesach Sheni. But most Mefarshim disagree with the Tzlach. They say, although the Mishnah doesn't say Peturim Lots Pesach Sheni, here too the Halach is Potim Lots Pesach Sheni. Next case, Loi Amru Lahen, V'loi Amru Loi. He didn't say anything to them, and they didn't say anything to him. So Enech Roim Zelazah, they have no connection. He makes his carbon, they make their carbon, their Yoytzu with their carbon, no matter which one is Shechted first, which one is Shechted second. Ask the Rambam Avius. If they didn't make any connection, so they're separated. So the Rambam says, beautiful pshat, and we'll appreciate it more in tomorrow's Gemara. Says the Rambam, maybe they didn't say anything to each other, but you knew that they really wanted to join together. They just never had the opportunity to articulate that they want to join together. So I would say, since we know that's what they wanted, it should be as if they said it. Teaches us the Mishnah, unless you said it, it doesn't count. Now as we begin the next part of the Mishnah, we have to review a halacha. The halacha is that if a Karban Pesach is left ownerless for even one moment, it becomes disqualified. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Chaburishnes Ma'avar Pescheim. You have two groups that got their animals mixed up. We don't know whose is whose. So says the Mishnah, what do you do? Eilam Mashchan Le'echad. One group takes one animal. Ve'ilam Mashchan Le'echad. And another group takes another animal. Echad Me'elu. Let's say each group had 10 members. One member of group A, Bola Eitzel Elu, comes to group B. Ve'echad me'elu, and one member of group B, Bola Eitzel Elu, comes to group A. Ve'kachem Aymrim. This is what they say. Im Shalonuhu, group A says on this animal, if this was our animal that was always ours, Im Shalonuhu, HaPesach HaZeh, they tell the member of group B who now joined them, you no longer are a member of group B, you now of Nimbus of Shalana, you're a member of us. And Allah is, as we learned in the Mishnah, you could always withdraw till the Shechita. Vim Shalachahu HaPesach HaZeh. If on the other hand, this animal that we chose is really all along group B's, fine. So this animal was always yours. And Yodeinu Meshuchas Malenu, we're withdrawing from the carbon, from the animal that was ours all along, we want to join you, and so the other group says to its animal. Now we have another case. V'kein, a little more confusing. V'kein chamisha chaburish al chamisha chamisha v'shal asara asara. You have five groups that have five members in each, or you have 10 groups with 10 members in each. We'll talk about five with five. Moshlam echem kol chaburo v'chaburo. So we have five groups. Group A, B, C, D, E, that have each one of them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we now establish five new groups, that each new group has a member of each one of the groups. So let's say we'll have one group of number one, all the number ones. We'll have another group of all the number twos, and we'll have another group of all the number threes, and so on. And they v'kachem omrim, and they say the same to each other. Again, why do we have to do this? Because we don't want to leave that the carbon should not have one of the original owners with it for one moment, because if it'll only have new owners, that means it will have been left ownerless for a moment, and once the carbon is left ownerless, it becomes rejected. Next case. Shnayim shnis arv pischem, two people. Each carbon only had one owner. Rashi says, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven and Shimon had two animals, and these two animals got mixed up. So what do we do? Says the Gemara, Zeb Moshech Layechet, Reuven chooses one animal, Zeb Moshe Chloyachad. And Shimon chooses one animal. Zem Mimani Imay Echad Minashuk. Now Reuven goes, and we'll use Rashi's example. Now Reuven goes and takes Levi and asks him to join. Vizel Moshe Chloyachad. And Shimon goes and asks Yehuda to join him. So now we have each carbon with two people. Reuven and Levi, and Shimon and Yehuda. Zeh memana ima yachem menashuk, zeh memana yachem menashuk. Zeh boitzel zeh. Reuven goes to the animal that he picked from these two animals. Zeh boitzel zeh. Shimon goes to the animal that he chose. Reuven now Reuven tells Yehuda, "V'kachem amrim, im shali pesach zeh, if this animal was mine all along, yudecha meshuchas melcha, you are no longer part of this animal." That's what he says to Shimon. "V'nimnasal shali, you now become a mine." Vim Mishukhahu Pesach Zeh, if on the other hand this was your animal, Yadei Mishukhas Mishali, I don't want to be part of mine, the Nimnas Shalach. But why what they did is effective? Because before they made these conditions, they brought new owners to the carbon. So we'll never have a moment that the carbon was left ownerless, because we'll have Levi and Yehuda member owners of the carbon, whichever one, before they withdrew. And that's why the carbon was never left ownerless, and the carbon is still considered kosher. Left ownerless, and the carbon is still considered kosher.